Good morning. We will continue in our gospel basic flow through the Bible. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And by now, you've been in the series long enough to know the purpose of this prayer is not just a ritualistic prayer, but a very important prayer to test yourself to see if you're trusting in His Spirit to teach you. I'm not the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. So let's prepare ourselves in prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have to come together this morning for the purpose of worshiping You, for the purpose of opening Your text, letting Your Spirit open our eyes to the things You would have us to see in regard to our life. Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes in these passages. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we have covered a multitude of things in this basic study. Now, what's it all about? What's life about? Once we're saved, why doesn't God just take us home? What comes after salvation? What should be our goal now that we're saved? What is the objective of the Christian life? What is it that is going to characterize one as a Christian, as belonging to Jesus Christ? Now, whatever that is, it must be able to transcend 2,000 years of church history since the time of the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ. It must transcend sex. Male or female must be able to do this. It must transcend economic conditions. The rich, the poor, a free person, a slave, a person in prison. It must transcend all the races. Race cannot be a hindrance to this. It must transcend conditions in history. War, peace, famine, poverty, prosperity, all various governments. Everywhere from the communistic, socialistic government to capitalism, freedom. It must be something that every Christian can do. Everyone must be able to do it in any nation, any civilization, and certainly it must be able to transcend every personality type. Some people are really big into personality types. Well, I'm just of this kind of personality. I don't do this and I don't do that. Whatever this is that's going to characterize us as belonging to Christ must transcend personality types. Must be something that every believer in Jesus Christ can do. Must be something that characterizes Jesus Christ Himself. What is it? Now, different Christians have different answers as to what mark one as a Christian. Because you say so. You tell people you are. Because you go to church. Because you live a moral life. You live a certain way of life. Your doctrine, that ought to do it. Your Bible doctrine. Some denomination or movement that you belong to. Because you live according to the Mosaic Law, by the Ten Commandments. Ah, service, that must be it. Altruistic lifestyle. Emotional or charismatic experiences must be it. People, every one of these is wrong. Every one of these are wrong. They do not live up to the teaching of Jesus Christ. Let's see what Jesus Christ says about the answer to this question. Let's start off by looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. Let's see what Jesus Christ says should characterize us as belonging to Him. And again, believer, it must transcend 2,000 years, economics, political structure, everything. Person in prison, a person slave, a person free, regardless of personality type. It's got to transcend all of these things. Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Let's read them together. a new, this is Jesus Christ speaking in the upper room hours before the crucifixion. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have this love for one another. The new commandment. And what is the new commandment? To love one another as Jesus Christ loved you. Let's just start off with, okay, go obey this. We talked about obedience, and some people are really big on obedience. Okay, go obey this one. Be obedient. Obey the new commandment. And as we're going to see, you cannot obey this commandment in the flesh. It's impossible. So we now come to loving as Christ loved. That's what we're left here on earth for. Now, let's start off by noting that love is yet another important word that almost everyone uses under the Christian umbrella and nearly every religion of the world. You must remember that Christianity is not a religion. Religion is what man does for God. Christianity is what God does for man. So, every movement, every denomination, every religion, and all these movements under the Christian umbrella talk about love. But people, they do not all mean the same thing. And most certainly, they do not mean what God means by this love. In fact, few understand how Jesus Christ loved and the love he's talking about here. We're going to see that as we go through. Now, we've already seen several words that you have to be very careful about. You hear some preacher, some teacher, some speaker, some evangelist, some friend, and you hear these words, gospel, grace, faith, and now love. But people, you have to know, what do they mean when they use these words? What does the speaker or your friend mean when they use these words? What do they mean when they say gospel? What do they mean when they say grace? What do they mean when they say faith? Is their faith the faith that God is looking for? And now, what do they mean when they say love? Let's take a look at the new commandment. Verse 34. A new commandment I give to you. Now, we'll just have time to look at it briefly. But first of all, who is speaking? Jesus Christ. He's our Savior, and he's head of the church. He has the authority and the place to give us a new commandment. So that's who's speaking. That's the first thing we want to note. A new commandment. Now, a commandment is used here for the order of your life, the way you ought to live. And Jesus Christ says this is a new commandment. I, Jesus Christ, give to you. Now, let me just stop here. Give to you. People, in the Greek, this is in the dative case, and this is what we call a dative of advantage. It's for your advantage. So we've already learned two things about this commandment. First, it's new. It replaces the old commandment. And secondly, it's to our advantage. It's to our advantage in life as Christians. That, okay, here's the new commandment. You love one another. Now, I want to see if I can make this next point simple and clear for you. There are two Greek words translated another in the English. One Greek word is allos, A-L-L-O-S. And this means another of the same kind. In contrast with heteros, H-E-T-E-R-O-S, transliterating the Greek, heteros, this means another of a different kind. Now here we have allos, that you love one another of the same kind as you. That means another believer. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, other believers. Now wait a minute. Aren't we to love unbelievers also? Well, we'll cover that. But right now, just staying with what's going on here, Jesus Christ, in giving a new commandment, specifies this as to love another believer. And as we're going to see, it's more difficult to love another believer than to love an unbeliever. Much more difficult. Okay, love one another. This is other believers. And as we're going to see, this is going to be a lot more demanding, far more demanding than loving a believer. Okay, here is the first place where the new commandment differs from the old commandment. Now, what's the old commandment in Leviticus? To love your neighbor as yourself. So the first place the new commandment differs from the old commandment is in reference to whom you're going to love. There it is in reference to loving an unbeliever or believer, your neighbor, a Jewish neighbor in Leviticus, be he a believer or unbeliever. But here, in getting ready to establish the church, Jesus Christ specifies under the new commandment that we are to love one another. This is to love other believers, husband, wife, parent, children, friends, relatives, and people in the church. Now, in the next phrase, Jesus Christ ups the ante even more. Look what he says. Even as I have loved you. I wish we had time for the Greek on even. It means just as. Here's the standard. Here's the example. Here's how we are to love. So we have to know how he loved if we're going to love as he loved. We got to know how he loved, and we're going to cover that in a bit. Now, under the old commandment, we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. See? But under the new commandment, we're to love one another as Jesus Christ loved us. People, this is a radical difference from the old commandment. It's a radical difference. Under the old commandment, you're occupied with yourself. Love one another as you love yourself. You're occupied with yourself. If we had time in developing all of this, I'd like to have fun with you. If you want something from someone and they live by the old commandment, find out whether they're pleased with themselves or not. If somebody's mad at themselves, you don't want to ask them anything that day. Stay away from them. But if they really are impressed with themselves that day, go for it. See? But this is ups the ante. No longer do we think about ourselves. We think about Jesus Christ. Under the new commandment, we're occupied with Jesus Christ, and we're occupied with how he loves you personally. And you can see this is a radical change from thinking about yourself to thinking about Jesus Christ. Under the new commandment, you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about Jesus Christ and his love. And as we're going to see, this is going to be impossible for us. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as or just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now the phrase, just as I have loved you, goes with the phrase that you love one another even as I have loved you. Now, to be sure that you got it, Jesus Christ repeats the heart of this love. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Again, believer, loving another believer as Jesus Christ loves you is the heart of this new commandment. We got to know how he loved. We got to know how he loved us. It's a lot of things yet to cover. We're just building this as we go through it. So, loving one another. This new commandment is not just any love, people. This is not a love that you want it to be. See, we kind of fabricate how we want love. You fall in love with somebody and they say, I love you, you want to know what they mean by that. Oftentimes when we say, I love you, that's a control. Now you roll over for me. Now you do what I want you to do. See, I love you. See, I love you. That's a control phrase by a lot of people. Now you're to roll over. Now you're to do everything I want you to do. They've got to be careful. What does a person mean when they say, I love you? But this is a love that's from Jesus Christ. So this is not just any love. And this can't be defined by any way that you want to define love. We have all kinds of escape clauses in our society today. Call it tough love. That means I don't want to love as Christ loved, so I'm going to call it tough love. We have escapes out of this thing. There's no escapes, as we're going to see. This love is not just anything you like it to be. This love is the mark of a Christian. Not just my love or any love from the flesh, from the nature of man, but loving as Jesus Christ loves. Question. How can I love as Jesus Christ loved me? A truthful answer? I can't. I cannot love as Jesus Christ loved. As a matter of fact, if the truth be made known, I really don't want to sometime. If I'm honest with myself, sometimes I really don't want to love you. Even if you're my husband, my wife, my friend, my whatever, my parent, my children. Now we come to the mark of a Christian living in Christ. Look what he says, verse 35. By this. Not by your doctrine, not by your moral living, not by going to church, not by saying you're a Christian, not by carrying the Bible, not by living by the law. By this. That is, by loving one another as Jesus Christ loves you, all men. Okay, now I got to stop. If you have your correct Bible, men is in italics. Men does not occur in the original manuscript. Now, why is this important? See that word all? This refers to humans, and I got news for you. If you're just starting in the whole venture of the Bible, this includes angelic creatures, angelic beings. Now, this is something you will learn as you grow in the study of the Bible. You are in an invisible warfare. You are in a spiritual warfare, and angels are watching you. Yeah, I know you just thought your neighbor was watching you. But angels are also watching, as well as Christians, as well as non-Christians. They're watching you. So all angels, all humans, everyone watching you, alright, will know. By this, all will know. The word to know means to know something by observation. As they observe how you get along with other believers, they will learn something about you. You gossip, you malign, you slander, you talk against one another. They're learning about you and your love. They're learning about the way you love. You separate yourself, they're learning about your ideal of love. So, we have a lot to understand here. They will know. They will learn. Now, I don't know what you want people to learn about you, but Jesus Christ said, you'll learn it's your mind. Okay, look what he says. By this, all will know that. Okay, now what will they know? You are my disciples. This word means a student or follower of Jesus Christ. If you have love, this love, for one another, loving one another, loving other believers as Jesus Christ loves you. Okay, let's take a look at our passage now. Take a look at our verse. A new commandment. This is a new order of life. A new walk of life. A new way of life. See, I, Jesus Christ, your Savior and head of the church, give to you, that is, to a believer for our advantage. He's given this new commandment for our advantage, that you love one another, other believers, even as, or just as, I have loved you, that you, every believer, also, in the same manner as I loved, you love one another. Verse 35, by this, by loving one another as I've loved you, all, angels and humans, remember you're in a spiritual warfare, will know, by observing how you love, that you are my disciples, if, there's the big word, if you have this love for one another, other believers. Okay. New commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. This is your life. This is how we're to organize our day. How you are to live every day in your home, at work, in your social life, and in church. And we're going to find out. This is the most difficult. In your home and at church. See, because we go in with this preconceived idea, people ought to behave a certain way. And when they don't behave a certain way, that upsets us. So we're going to have some problems with this. Okay. He called this a new commandment. Now, how is this a new commandment? First of all, it is new in origin. It's new in origin. The source of the new commandment is Jesus Christ, in contrast with the source of the old commandment, love one your neighbor as yourself, and that was from Moses. So it's new in origin. So we have a whole new origin. That's why it's new. Secondly, it's new as to recipients. It's new recipients of this new commandment. This is to church age believers that really is a new. See, one thing we haven't covered, but when you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, you became a new spiritual creation, a new spiritual species. A new spiritual creation in Christ, which has never existed before in history, until the beginning of the church age. So it's new in recipients of this commandment. The old commandment was written, really, to Jews, unbeliever and believer. This is written to church age believers, and only to believers. Okay, so it's new in origin, new in recipients. Okay? It's new in direction. It's new in direction. The new commandment is to love one another. Every other believer. In contrast with thy neighbor, fellow countryman, a Jew, unbeliever, a believer. So it's new in direction. Fourth, it's new in foundation. As I have loved you. In contrast with the old commandment to love one another as you love yourself. So it's new in foundation. It's a new commandment. Completely replaces the old commandment. It's new in impact. Now, I will be developing this impact idea a little later. But we're going to see that the spiritual love, that we're going to call it spiritual love, is a force. And as a force, it has impact, effect. Your love should have an impact, effect. Does your love turn people off? What's the impact or the effect of your love? This love is new in impact. Okay, let's see how that works. A, it's impact to the believer. It's impact to the believer. Constantly thinking of Christ and how he loved you, instead of thinking how about yourself or the other person or of sin. Do they deserve my love? Do they this? Have they sinned? Have they failed me? All of this. So this is new and impact to you as the believer. It's new in impact. It's an impact in the spiritual warfare. All will know that you're mine. This love is new in its impact. This is not just something in the race of the Jews or nation. This is in the whole spiritual warfare, the invisible warfare that we're all in. This is not about your local church or your race or your family or your neighborhood or your nation. This is about the spiritual impact, the body of Christ. What do you desire others to know about you? What do you desire? Do you have money? That you're attractive? That you go to church? That you try hard to be moral? Well, Jesus Christ says to love as he loved. And then see, it's new in impact in its emphasis. It's new in impact in its emphasis. When you love by the new commandment, you draw attention to Jesus Christ and to his love, not to yourself. See, you draw attention to Jesus Christ. You draw attention to how he loved. You draw attention to the cross. That's how he loved. So this is the new in the emphasis. Before, it emphasized you. Love one another as you loved yourself. This draws attention to Jesus Christ, draws attention to how he loved, not to you, but to the love of Christ. As we look at the love, loving as Jesus Christ loved, there's just way too much to cover in this study and just a few sessions that I want to do in this series. In our studies at our church, we have a series called Spiritual Love that I highly suggest if you're interested in the study of spiritual love. Okay, so let's see what we've got. First, we've got the new commandment. And the new commandment is to love one another as Jesus Christ loved you. That's the first thing. Now, what's now? Okay, now how? How do you love as Jesus Christ loved you? You cannot obey this commandment in the flesh. No matter how hard you try, no matter how sincere you may be. The first thing I want to cover in the study of spiritual love, how? How do we love as Jesus Christ loved? Please understand that you cannot love this love in the flesh nature. This is supernatural love. This is not the love of God, the love that comes from your flesh. Oh, I love Jesus, I love the Lord, I love food, I love this, I love that. This is not the love he's looking for. This is not the love he's looking for. Remember we saw how, is your faith the faith he's looking for? Is your love the love that God is looking for? Not the love that pleases you, but does it please God? So, this is the love he's looking for. Okay, love of the new commandment is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing you want to know about this love. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is not from you. It is not from your flesh nature. It is from the Holy Spirit. It is a supernatural love. This is not human love. This is supernatural love. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, there are 8 more fruit of the Spirit mentioned, but we're going to concentrate on love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. This is not love that you can generate from your flesh. You cannot manufacture this love. You cannot create this love. You cannot even will this love. People are always saying, oh, I love God, I love Jesus, and so on. But it's a love of the flesh, not the love of God that God is looking for. This love is given to us totally and freely by the Holy Spirit. So you better know how to be filled with the Spirit. If it's a fruit of the Spirit, how am I going to get the fruit of the Spirit? Unfortunately, few preachers, teachers, people know how to be filled with the Spirit. Ask people, well, how are you filled with the Spirit? Most of the time, if they're honest, I really don't know. They'll stumble through a few things, but no, I really don't know. It's not talked about. See, to me, the most important teaching for the unbeliever, how am I saved? How am I saved eternally? By faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone. For the believer, how am I filled with the Holy Spirit? So you got to know, we covered that. By faith alone in the Holy Spirit. So you better know how to be filled with the Spirit. You cannot love as Jesus Christ loves if you don't know how to be filled with the Spirit. This is why we spend an entire session on the gospel for the believer. How to be filled with the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit. Trusting Him to pour in His fruit, love, into us. Now, let's take a look at the name or designation of this love. The name or designation of this love. Since our flesh cannot produce this love, let's identify it as spiritual love. Now, when I talk about a name, I'm talking about the source. Like, for an example, there's divine love. There is human love from one person to another person. In fact, in human love, there are different kinds of love, isn't there? There's friendship love, romantic love. There is just a value love, like I love Texas, or I love this, or I love that. It's a value love. So even in human love, there's different kinds, but it comes from a human. So let's have a designation that we can talk about as we go through this study and other studies. And since our flesh cannot produce this love, let's identify it as spiritual love. Okay, this love is from God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, spiritual love, as opposed to human love. It's from the Holy Spirit. Let's call it spiritual love, so that we know what we're talking about whenever we talk about it. Secondly, this love comes from the new spiritual creation, the new spiritual species, which you and I became when we believed in Jesus Christ. Therefore, spiritual love, as opposed to human love or even divine love. This love comes from a new spiritual creation. And then third, this love has spiritual impact. Therefore, spiritual love. You've heard about spiritual gifts. This is spiritual love. It's from God the Holy Spirit, spiritual love. It is from a new spiritual creation, spiritual love. It has spiritual impact, therefore spiritual love. And that way we can just identify. We're talking about divine love, talking about human love, talking about spiritual love, and we know what we're talking about here in this study. So let's identify this as spiritual love. Now the new commandment is that we love one another as I have loved you. This is not human love, not flesh love, talking about spiritual love. How can we love as Jesus Christ loves? God gives us this love as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. First He gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us this love when we walk by faith in the Spirit. So God gives us this love as a fruit of the Spirit. So again, the real question is, how can I be filled with the Spirit? We're filled with the Spirit by faith in the Spirit, trusting Him to pour His fruit into us. Now, first we look at the new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Then we look at how Jesus Christ loved, how to love as Christ loved by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's take a look at this love. Let's take a look at this love. Let's take a look at spiritual love briefly for our study. The first thing I want you to know is not a good thing, but it's one of the most important things you have to know. Nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Jesus Christ loves. Nothing. not living by the law. See, living by the law, you get to chop somebody's head off real quick. You get to separate from them real quick. You get to judge from them real quick. You don't get to do that. Love doesn't come with a club. Love doesn't come with claws to control. And we're going to see, nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Jesus Christ loves. You will quickly learn this in your Christian journey. The greatest demands in your life will be loving as Christ loved. Loving your husband, loving your wife, parents, children, friends, people in the church. When they sin, when they disappoint you, when they fail you, when they hurt you, nothing will make greater demands in your life than loving as Christ loved. Look what it did to Jesus Christ. It cost him the cross. He was crucified. Secondly, so first of all, nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Christ loved. Look what it cost him. He was crucified. Secondly, how did Jesus Christ love? Okay, we have three options. Love one another as I have loved you. We have three options. First, he could have loved from his divine nature. Jesus Christ is God. He could have loved from his divine nature. God is love. Therefore, Jesus Christ could have loved from his divine nature, his divine essence. One problem with that. Had Jesus Christ loved from his divine nature, then he gave to us a useless command, didn't he? Because we're mortals. There's no way a mortal can love as deity. But we know from Philippians 2 that Jesus Christ made a decision not to rely on his deity in his hypostatic union, the God-man. He did not rely on his deity to provide salvation or to obey God or to love. Okay? That's the first option. Second option. He could have loved from his perfect human nature. Could have. Again, he would have given us a useless command. Unless you still believe your mother that you're perfect. But if you finally realized, as she realized, people around you realized, you're not perfect, then we realize, you know what? Had he loved from his perfect human nature, it became a useless command because I'm not perfect. And there's no way I can produce that love. So these are our first two options. He could have loved from his divine nature. He could have loved from his perfect human nature. Had he loved from either of those, we're out. He gave us a useless command. He chose to love from the power of the Holy Spirit. Ah, I can do that. I have the Holy Spirit too. Jesus Christ sent him to me. Now I can do that. See, this is really wonderful. He chose to love from the power of the Holy Spirit. I can walk by faith in the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to pour His love through me. Let's just note a few verses in passing on this. First of all, let's note Isaiah 42:1. Isaiah 42:1. Behold, if you don't have on the internet or on the board, please open your Bibles. Isaiah 42:1. Behold, my servant, now my is God the Father, the servant is Jesus Christ, whom I, God the Father, uphold. My, God the Father, chosen one, in whom my, God the Father, my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Now what we have in this one verse, we have all three members of the Godhead in this one verse. I, God the Father, put my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on Him, God the Son, in His hypostatic union, in His incarnation. So I put my Spirit. Okay, next, let's just read Matthew 3:16. Matthew 3:16. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, And behold, the heavens were opened, and he, John the Baptist, saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending as a dove, can't see the Spirit, so as a dove, and coming upon him. Isaiah 42:1, I put my Spirit upon him. Matthew 3:16, the actual visualization of that. And then, Luke 4:1. Luke 4:1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, and we're to be filled with the Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit into the wilderness. So here we have Jesus Christ being filled with the Spirit, being guided by the Spirit, and loving by the Spirit. Jesus Christ, from the beginning of his public ministry, made every decision, made the decision in every case to trust the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ loved by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can do it now. We can walk by faith in the Spirit. So if you desire to love as Christ loved, then you want to rely on the Holy Spirit. Let me give you another very important passage in just reading. 1 John 2:6. If you have your Bibles, you open them up to them, or have it overhead on your internet, looking at the board. 1 John 2:6. The one, this is a believer, who says he abides in him, that is in Christ, ought, if you say that, this is what ought to happen, if you claim that you're in Christ, ought himself, that's you, to walk in the same manner as he walked. Walk in the same manner as he walked. So we better know how he walked. He walked by the power and leading and loving of the Holy Spirit. And we can do it. See, now we can love as Christ loved. Now that commandment gets a little closer to home because we can do this now. See? We can love as he loved. Jesus Christ walked, lived, and loved by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you desire to love as Christ loved, you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you desire to fulfill the new commandment, you will have to rely on the Holy Spirit to do it. Jesus Christ is our example. He's our pattern. As I loved you. To love as Jesus Christ loved means you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. God is not impressed with human love. I'm sorry. He is not impressed with a mother love. I know we are. Shed our tears, see movies, read books. Oh, mother's love. How could anyone reject a mother's love? People, he's not impressed. He's impressed with the love that his Spirit gives. This is the love that God is impressed with and God is looking for. The love of Jesus Christ was not from Jesus Christ, but from the Holy Spirit. And people don't react to that. Don't react, as some do, thinking that in some way this is a put down of Jesus Christ. Contrary. This exalts him. He's our example. Now we can love just as he loved. Understand just how fantastic this is, that Jesus Christ did not produce this love from himself, but that he subjected himself to the Holy Spirit and allowed the Spirit to pour this love into him. This is fantastic. Now we can love just as he loved. Otherwise, we could not. We will see how the flesh does not love as Christ loved. How the flesh cannot love as Christ loved. Think about this. You can actually have the same love that Jesus Christ had that took him to the cross. You can have that same love. You can love just as Christ loved. So first, the new commandment. To love as Christ loved. See? So first Jesus Christ commanded us with this commandment. Then Jesus Christ gave us an example of how he loved by dying on the cross. Then he did something wonderful. He gave to us the potential to love as he loved by sending to us the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved by the energy of the flesh. You cannot produce the righteousness that God is looking for by the energy of the flesh. You cannot obey the new commandment by the energy of the flesh. You cannot love as Jesus Christ loved by the energy of the flesh. You cannot will. I will this love. You cannot will it. You cannot make a decision to love as Christ loved. You do not make a decision to love as Christ loved. You make a decision to be filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, and He will pour in this love. We have just enough time to look at a very important passage. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Very important passage. Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I think that's as clear as it can be stated. I don't think it can be any clearer. This love is from the Holy Spirit. Spiritual love is poured into us by the Holy Spirit, not because of something we do. Spiritual love is spiritual. It's not of the flesh. The flesh cannot produce this love. The flesh cannot even will this love. This is supernatural love. Please let that sink into your heads. Whenever people speak of the love of Christ or the love that we ought to love, you ask yourself, is he talking about a supernatural love or a love from the flesh? People, you do not make a decision to love as Christ loved. You do not make that decision. You make a decision to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the decision you make. You cannot make a decision to love as Christ loved. You can't make that decision. You make it, but it isn't going to do anything. I might make a decision, I'm going to be a nuclear scientist. But that isn't going to make me a nuclear scientist. So you do not make the decision to love as Christ loved. You make a decision to turn yourself over to the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what you make a decision about. Now later on, I hate to jump ahead of it, but it just seems right now is the time to tell you Paul's example, be filled with the Spirit, not with alcohol. See, you don't make a decision to be drunk. I'm going to be drunk. No. What is our decision? You make a decision to drink alcohol more than you should. That's your decision. You do not make a decision to be drunk. You make a decision to drink enough alcohol that your body the alcohol does what it's designed to do. You don't make a decision. Now, I want this to make me drunk, so I'm going to drink some water. It ain't going to happen. It is not in the property of water to make you drunk. You do not make a decision to love as Christ loved. You make a decision to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is the function of the Holy Spirit to pour this love in you. It's the function of alcohol to make you drunk. You drink excessively and you say, well, I don't want to be drunk. Sorry, too late. Don't get behind the wheel of the car now. It's too late. See, the alcohol does what it's designed to do. You make a decision to be filled with alcohol. The Holy Spirit does what He's designed to do, what He's given to do. And our decision is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, then you make a decision to turn yourself over to the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Then He, God the Holy Spirit, pours this love into your heart. This is what He does. Because the love of God, look at Romans 5:5 now, because the love of God, a love belonging to God, this is not human love, this is the love of God. Think about that. You can actually have the love of God flowing through you because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. The Greek verb poured out. I wish we had a lot of time here. The Greek word poured out In the Greek, we call this a perfect tense. Now, the perfect tense emphasizes the present result of the past action. The past action being filled with the Holy Spirit. Present result, He pours out this love. Ah, it's in what I love to call the passive voice. It's a grace voice in the Greek. The subject receives the action of the verb. You and I receive the Holy Spirit pouring this love. I remember this because you do not manufacture or create or generate this love. It's a supernatural love given to us supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. And the indicative mood is the mood of reality. It's a mood of reality. This divine love flowing through you, a mortal, by the power of the Holy Spirit. One other thing about the word pour. I love this word. You ever poured water or spilt water? It goes everywhere. It gets on your clothes. It gets on the furniture. It gets on the wall. It gets everywhere. Well, how did it get over there? And you're taking your rag and you're wiping everywhere. See? On the floor, furniture, you, clothes, everywhere. Well, people, that's the picture here of this verb. God's love is poured into every part of your soul, into every compartment of your soul, affecting every area of your life. This is beautiful. Your soul is the container into which the Holy Spirit pours this divine love. Every part of your soul is affected. Your mentality is affected. Your emotion is affected. Your conscience is affected. Your remembrance is affected. All are affected by the Holy Spirit pouring this supernatural love. And when it comes out, flows out from you, it flows out as spiritual love. This means that every area of your life is affected by this love. Again, people, we cannot generate this love. It's poured into us by the Holy Spirit. It is poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And look at the next phrase, who was given to us. This is a reference to the giving of the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ, giving of the Holy Spirit by God the Father. We're in the midst of studying the Gospel of John 13, 14, 15, and 16, where Christ talks about the giving of the Holy Spirit. Let's note a few things in closing. One, you cannot produce this love. You cannot produce this love. You cannot produce loving as Christ loved, the love of the new commandment. Two, you cannot will this love, W-I-L-L. You cannot will it. I will this to happen. Cannot will this love. You do not make a decision to love as Jesus Christ loved. Three, Jesus Christ Himself did not produce this love. And please don't be offended by that. Thank Him for this, because now we can do it. But point three, I have to put in there, Jesus Christ did not produce this love. Four, this love, commanded in the new commandment, is produced by God. God, the Holy Spirit. Five, spiritual love is poured out in your hearts by God, the Holy Spirit. So you've got to know how to be filled with the Spirit. Six, do you believe what the Word of God says? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit will do all that the Word of God says He will do when you walk by faith in Him? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit will pour out spiritual love into your heart? Or do you believe that you have to do something to manufacture this love? People, we can do nothing but faith for salvation in Jesus Christ. We can do nothing but faith for the imputed perfect righteousness of God. We can do nothing to be restored from sin. The Holy Spirit must do that. We can do nothing to produce this love but trust in the Spirit, who then will pour it into us. Easy salvation, easy spirituality, easy love. It's that easy. Just trust Him. Seven, Jesus Christ experienced this love, and therefore every born-again believer can. You have the potential of experiencing this love. And finally, it is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus Christ. Gospel of John chapter 16. It is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus Christ, and the best way he can glorify Christ in a believer is for that believer to love just as he loved. Isn't that beautiful? Purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. And the greatest way of glorifying Jesus Christ is to have the believer loving just as Jesus Christ loved. We will resume this study. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, first of all, we saw this new command, we went, wow, there's no way. There's no way I can love as Christ loved. And then we see your grace. We see that you've made every provision for us. And that's your keeping. That's keeping to your nature. You never ask of us anything that you yourself has not first given us. You ask us to trust in Jesus Christ. You gave us faith. And then you gave us your Son. Now, Father, you ask us to love as your Son loved. And you gave to us your Spirit who produces this love. Father, thank you so much for the passages we've looked at. Pray your Spirit will take the things that we've seen, cause them to become a reality in our own souls and then our own lives. That as we walk through this life, we will love as Jesus Christ loved us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.